Welcome to the HR Chat Show, one of the world's most downloaded and shared podcasts designed for HR pros, talent execs, tech enthusiasts, and business leaders. For hundreds more episodes and what's new in the world of work, subscribe to the show, follow us on social media, and visit hrgazette.com.
Hello, and thanks for tuning in to this episode of the HR Chat Podcast. I'm your host today, Bill Banham, and in this episode, we're going to dive into one of the biggest shifts shaping the modern workplace, how learning is being redefined in an age of AI, hybrid work, and constant skills disruption. Upskilling isn't just a nice to have anymore, it's a business critical. To help us unpack how organizations can stay ahead, I'm thrilled to be joined today by Rob Rosenthal, president over at Udemy Business. Rob stepped into the role last year after serving as chief revenue officer, and he brings over 25 years of experience driving global growth and transformation at companies like Bloomreach, Adobe, and SAP. Rob spent his career at the intersection of tech, learning, and performance, helping teams adapt faster and leaders make smarter, data-driven decisions about talent development. Listen as we explore how learning is evolving, what's next for L&D in the world of AI, and how Udemy is helping thousands of organizations turn learning into a true growth engine. Rob, how are you doing? Welcome to the show today.
Thanks, Bill. Doing great. Really looking forward to our conversation.
Me too. So beyond the reintroduction just a moment ago, maybe you can take a minute or two, please, Rob, and introduce yourself to our listeners and tell them also about the mission of Udemy.
Yeah. So based in Denver, Colorado, my career has been on transformation of one flavor or another. And in most cases, that's meant digital transformation and tech, companies like Adobe and SAP. And this is the first time that I've really been on the people side of the business and learning and enablement. And I'll just say, I kind of knew we weren't doing a great job as tech providers on the enablement side of the equation. Now that I am on this side, I can confirm that we really haven't been doing a great job. And it's just such a big opportunity. So I'm thrilled to be at Udemy and helping to transform people, not tech.
Okay, we've come to the right place because we love talking about people and people processes. So Udemy hosted the Forward London event last week as we record this in the middle of November 2025. Tell me about the event series, because it's not just in London, is it? It's all over the world. And some of the highlights from the London edition for you.
Yeah, the Forward event is really important to us. We know that people like to come together and trade best practices, and learning people in particular. It's I've really observed how they like to come together, and we did just that last week. It was an amazing event. It was quite well attended, much larger than the prior year, which we held in the Gherkin. We outgrew the Gherkin, and we had several hundred people, and I think the everyone. Of course, everyone's talking about AI, right? And the buzz in the room really was, okay, we've been through the first wave to try an AI enablement. How'd that go? Where's this thing going? And what does it mean for the learning and development professional, or even the head of people? What are the implications? So we are doing this all over the world, and we are quite a global company. 60% of our revenue comes from outside the U.S. So it's really important to get out there and see what these themes are all over the world. I can confirm that, it's a similar story in different regions where people are wrestling with the same thing. They might be by industry a little more advanced or lagging, but it's the same conversation.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the HR Chat Podcast. If you enjoy the audio content we produce, you'll love our articles on the HR Gazette. Learn more at hrgazette.com. And now, back to the show.
Okay, so we are about 2 minutes into this particular episode of the HR Chat Show, listeners. And already, we are talking about AI. You can't get away from AI. And let's talk about it even more now. I'd love to get your feelings, Rob, in terms of your experience. How have you seen the role of learning and development evolve within organizations over the past few years, specifically in the context of ways that AI has impacted it?
Well, given that my tenure here is not even quite 2 years, I can tell you it has changed a lot since I started at Udemy. And the key change is there's a spotlight on L&D right now. And that spotlight is the CEO and the board understand that L&D can be quite strategic. And they have been given this mandate to enable the team on AI, typically a dual mandate. I'm experiencing it's not just L&D, but they have another stakeholder. It could be the CTO or a chief AI officer or whatever it is. And this is in the larger companies, the enterprise. So L&D has no choice but to get really comfortable with what the business outcomes are of this learning and enablement that they're doing. And that's where I think the biggest challenge is to prove the business value. And it's a org-wide challenge in the topic of AI, but L&D has to really help everyone see the value.
We'll talk about it a bit more in my next question for you. But when I'm wearing another hat, I'm on the board of an L&D network of about 500 L&D professionals here in the UK, Rob. I frequently hear from them that it shouldn't be HR taking their case to the top table. It should be L&D professionals. Just want to get your take on that.
Yeah, it's how you look at learning in general, right? So I completely agree with it. And I actually am not a big fan of the word learning. So it's in the title, but I don't like the word. It's like, you know, carrots, it's vegetables. It's nice, but it can be ignored. And we're in an era now where that's not the case, cannot be ignored. So I actually think the L&D person, I think Udemy itself, we're really in the business of enabling the workforce. So it's workforce readiness and ultimately workforce performance. So I don't see L&D as L&D. I see it as workforce performance. And if the L&D stakeholders change their title and start lining up against workforce performance, I think that's where this is all going.
What are some of the biggest barriers that companies face when trying to create a strong learning culture? And how can HR leaders help to overcome them?
Yeah, Bill, it's similar to what I just said prior, which is if it's about learning and it's considered a vegetable, the barrier is no one's going to do it because it's not as clear what the benefit is and there's no cost of inaction. If I don't eat my carrots, nothing bad happens, right? So the reality, though, is it needs exec sponsorship. So I would change the word of learning to enablement. Enablement is more of a business term, and enablement has real ROI, real outcomes. The C-suite must get involved. If any of this stuff is really going to matter, the C-suite has to help push. It has to be a top priority for the company. So I do believe that the majority of L&D professionals out there are being asked right now by the C-suite to go figure out AI and enable everyone on it. L&D has to ask in return, great, we'll do that, but you have to sign up for exec sponsorship, promotion, and you actually have to be the first one to go through the program. And that will overcome this obstacle of inertia. That's the obstacle.
Okay, so you've just addressed the why. What about the how, Rob? How can organizations better measure that ROI or business impact of their L&D, their engagement initiatives? What are some approaches there?
Yeah, so this has always been the hardest part is measuring the ROI and the business outcomes. There's no one way to do it. So it's multi-flavor, multi-threaded. Engagement is part of it. So I do often see in the office of a chief people officer, often they'll bring us in because some employee survey showed that engagement was off. They want to invest in their people. Investing in something like Udemy is a good way to do that. So you can do a pre and post engagement. That's just part of it. We like to look at assessments. And let's take AI as the relevant example. Let's do an assessment on everyone pre-enablement. Let's run the enablement, and then let's do a post-assessment. and use, you know, different tools and techniques. We have assessment capabilities, and there are other ways to do it as well. But let's show what skills were gained, and then, you know, how can we quantify a business value to those skills? In many of our customer bases, I'll give you a real easy one. In professional services, which is an industry we serve, it's a big chunk of our customer base. It's a very clear ROI, because if someone has gained a skill, then they're more valuable to their end customer. They can bill more per hour, or they can fill a job that goes unfilled. So the ROI is black and white, but it's not always that clean. Often there are gray areas. We actually have invested in resources called value engineers that we provide. We deploy these value engineers to our customers to help them map out the ROI, because it is a bit of a consulting project, and then ultimately be able to articulate and defend the ROI to the C-suite and the board. So that's how important it is to us. And we're right in the boat with our L&D and people stakeholders.
Rob, we are living in a world where AI is rapidly replacing us or augmenting us and making us think about new ways to work. As you look ahead from your perspective, which skills, technical or otherwise, are most critical for employees to thrive in the future workplace?
Yeah, I do have a strong point of view. I have a personal point of view, but also what we see in the data. Obviously, we can see what skills are trending and peaking right now. So take AI aside, right? AI can be quite noisy. There are some things that will always be needed, no matter the AI flavor of choice or whatever the wave is 10 years from now. Things like communication skills, things like change management, things like dealing with adversity. These are critical. The younger generation really values communication skills right now. So the younger generation entering the workforce, and we have to serve them. I personally am big on leadership skills. I also think, as crazy as this sounds, writing skills and even handwriting capability is important. So because you have to go the other way from AI to be relevant as well and stand out and differentiate. You know, what cannot ChatGPT not replace? A handwritten note is one example. So that's an example I've seen in my network that I completely agree with. We should lean into the things that aren't AI and develop those skills to stay balanced.
So Udemy works with thousands of organizations around the world. You guys are a pretty well-known brand. What are some of the emerging trends that you're seeing in how global companies are approaching skills development and continuous learning? Any particular use cases that you'd like to highlight? You mentioned professional services as a sector earlier, but you know, are there some particular use cases that you can point to?
Yeah, in professional services, but others as well. It's how do you ramp an employee quickly to meet a need? So in professional services, we've heard the term skill to fill. And it's exactly this. How do you quickly enable a skill to go fill a role? We actually eat our own chocolate, drink our own champagne at Udemy. I do run a global go-to-market function. Sales enablement is critical. So we use Udemy, both our platform, our course content, our instructors. We hired one of our instructors to help enable our folks. We use things like AI role play and assessments, all things we provide, to ramp a newly hired sales rep to be more productive faster. We've reduced the amount of time it takes. In the last year, we've reduced by 30% the amount of time it takes for an AE, account executive, to become productive. In the future, you'll see us doing more and more of this line of business, truly enablement, you know, not just learning, to have real tangible outcomes like 30% faster time to be productive. That's where our focus is right now. It's a trend I'm seeing everywhere. So it's, you know, how do we move into the line of business? It is interesting. L&D, while in a big organization, yes, there might be a chief learning officer and it's centralized. There's also learning in every line of business within the big organization. And they have different names. Some of them are enablement. Some of them are learning. Some of them are transformation. But everyone's after the same goal. It is, how do I get a quick win with ROI that's quite clear and measurable, like I just articulated that we have? My board wants to know, how am I ramping our reps? Well, we have a program and we'll share it with our customers and our partners and other stakeholders. Here's how we do it. And we'd like to learn from you and build enablement with you together.
Okay, so that 30%, that's pretty impressive. How much of that is improved learning techniques and training techniques? And how much of it is improved technology that's now available to automate so many of the sales-related processes that were more manual only a couple of years ago?
It's mostly not technology. There is some tech in it, though, that I will talk about. But it's mostly having a system for learning. So we actually look at it as a skills operating system. It starts with discovery of what skills, you know, hey, we, for example, I need someone to be a really good consultative seller, or they need to really understand how to do value-based engagement. So where are they today? Let's do an assessment. Where are the gaps? How can we partner with this employee to fill those gaps? So we call that skills discovery. And then skills acquisition, right? We provide the learning paths. They're not just online. Some of it's in person, some of it's cohort. And how do we, you know, deliver the training? So you acquire the skill. And then the skills, the term in our industry is skills mastery, but really it's just practice. How do we practice the skills? That's where the tech comes in. So things like AI role play, I can tell you, this is pretty new to the scene. AI coaching, AI role play. Look, a year and a half ago, you take an online course, you might learn a few things, and you apply it while you're in the flow of work, you can apply a learning. However, now that you have AI based role play, and you can custom design a role play for a specific use case. For example, I'm telling our story to a new client, and I want to deliver kind of the gen one for, you know, level one presentation. I want to make sure I ask the right questions in the right order. Well, you can program the AI role play or the AI coach to really do this and be the sounding board for the rep or the employee. And it really does stick. And if you get it wrong, you know, they'll let you know and reframe it and ask you to try it a different way and maybe give you some tips. So this interactive voice-based, right? It's not hands on keyboard. You're talking to the role play. That makes a difference. And there's the safety of doing it in your own contained environment. There's no embarrassment factor. This kind of thing is really changing how learning happens. And, you know, over time, this will become more of a tutor to help you teach the skill, be sitting on your shoulder and really helping you practice and develop the skills. So that's what we're seeing that's different now. It's quite different than when I started. The tech didn't even exist.
I wonder, where does the HR department fit in with that in terms of ensuring that with the example that you just used there in terms of the AI agent, ensuring that there's no inherent biases, making sure that those assessments are correct and valid. How can we ensure that there's still a human element, which is a concern, I think, for a lot of HR leaders? How can we make sure that the human touch is still in the right places?
It's such a good question, Bill. We recently had an exec advisory council. We got some of our key customers together that are L&D professionals from around the world and around industries. And they said the number one thing is human in the loop. And so they had a couple of examples, but they would like us to help them with cohort-based education and make sure that there's a human facilitating. AI safety, I hear all the time. So it's not just, hey, can you give me some AI enablement? No, it's you know, are we doing this in a way that is thoughtful, is compliant with rules and regulations or what they're going to be? Can we get in front of this? So just what, like you say, Bill, very top of mind. Human in the loop is a big, big deal.
Rob, we're flying through our questions for you today. Just two more. As you look ahead to 2026 and beyond, what's next for Udemy Business, and what are your priorities to helping organizations stay competitive through learning?
Yeah, look, we're innovating like crazy right now. We've been spending a lot of money on new technology. So we've taken the AI toolkit and the techniques and applied it to everything we do. What that means is this concept that we've all heard of, learning in the flow of work, in 2026, it really does show up in a real way. And it's a personalized learning, bite-sized learning. I'll give you an example that we're really proud of. We were the first in our market to ship MCP, Model Context Protocol integration. It's a fancy way of saying that we can work with any organization's AI strategy if they're using their own LLM to help their employees learn. Well, that LLM can talk directly to Udemy to help show up in a compact way when someone's stuck. Maybe I'm trying to write some code and I need some help and I use my own LLM within the org. It can go talk to Udemy, find the relevant area to surface and present it back to the employee, and they can solve that problem on the spot. Or if someone needs, I'm a generalist, I'm not a technologist, and I need to have a tough conversation with an employee, I can ask my own LLM within the company, help me figure this out, and it will maybe ask a question or two and go ping you to me and bring you that knowledge in the flow of work and see if it helped. So this kind of interactivity, leveraging AI tools, will be huge next year. So I think this the pace of change is crazy right now. All we can do is keep up with the integration to the best techniques. That's what we're doing, and making sure that the learning in the flow of work shows up so that you use it on a daily basis. It should be like a fitness routine. It's not an occasional learning, right? It's not learning by chance. It's being ready to learn at all times and then practicing it daily in the flow of work. That's enablement. That's when you get the business outcome. It's no longer a vegetable.
Okay. And just finally for today, Rob, how can our listeners connect with you? Is that LinkedIn? Do you want to share your email address? Are you super cool and all over the socials? And of course, how can folks learn more about Udemy?
Yeah, I'm easy to find on LinkedIn. Just look up Rob Rosenthal plus Udemy. You'll find me. That is a great way to reach out to me directly. Either follow me or connect with me. And I do check my LinkedIn messaging. Have found many customers actually interacting through that channel. So that's the best way. And Bill, what was your second question?
How can folks learn more about Udemy?
Oh, and Udemy is, we do have quite a following on LinkedIn. Udemy itself as a brand, but also Udemy for Business. So we a third of our business is the marketplace, which is business to consumer, and two thirds is Udemy Business. We have both flavors on LinkedIn, or you can go to udemy.com.
Perfect. Well, that just leaves me to say for today, Rob, this is the first time we've had a chat. I'm hoping it's not the last, but for today, thank you very much for being my guest.
Thank you, Bill. My pleasure. And look forward to staying in touch with you.
Thanks for listening to the HR Chat Show. If you enjoyed this episode, why not subscribe and listen to some of the hundreds of episodes published by HR Gazette? And remember, for what's new in the world of work, subscribe to the show, follow us on social media, and visit hrgazette.com.